إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So we're continuing today, alhamdulillah, the 3rd of Rabi' al-Thani, year 1436, after the Hijra of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, corresponding with the 23rd of January, 2015. And we are continuing in the studies of this book, this tremendous risala, the book, The Three Fundamental Principles of Islam, by the great Imam, the Reviver, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is our third sitting in this series. And we are still in those introductory topics. So what we have learned in the past, we studied the first lesson, of course, is the importance of the Muslim having the correct aqidah, the correct belief. And the second lesson, we focused on the role of Ahl ilm, the role of the people of knowledge in the religion of Islam. And we are continuing today to focus on and learn more about this specific imam, this specific scholar, who brought about great good to the Ummah, to the nation of the Muslims. That great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, the author of the book which we will be studying. So, as a brief reminder from the last lesson, I'll read that muqaddimah, or that introduction, that was written by Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that beautiful introduction, in which he mentioned some of the characteristics of the people of knowledge, and he mentioned who the people of knowledge protect the religion from, and further description of those people whom the people of knowledge are against in clarifying what is the true understanding of Islam. So Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he began his muqaddimah of his refutation of the Jahmiyyah, who are from the most deviated sects of Islam. So he said, rahimahullah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then he said, all praises for Allah, the one who made in every period of time those who remain after the messengers, from the people of knowledge, who call those whom have gone astray, they call them to guidance. And they are patient upon the harms from them. And they bring back to life with the book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, those whom have died. And they give insight with the light of Allah to those people who are blind. So how many, meaning how amazing it is, the number whom Iblis has killed, that the people of knowledge have revived back to life. And how many of those whom have gone astray and are wandering, that the people of knowledge have indeed guided. So how beautiful is the effect or the results of the people of knowledge upon the rest of the people? And how ugly and terrible is the effects of the people and the harm of the people upon the people of knowledge? While they protect and preserve the book of Allah from the distortion of the extremists and the splitting of those who seek to cause corruption and the misinterpretation of the ignorant. So this is whom the people of knowledge, this is from their characteristics, and this is who they protect the religion from. They protect the religion from the tahrif al-ghalin, the distortion of the extremists, وانتحال المبطلين, the splitting of those who seek to cause corruption, and from the تأويل الجاهلين, the misinterpretation of the ignorant. And then the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he will go on now to explain some of those characteristics and further description of those people that distort the true religion of Allah. So they are those whom establish their prejudice for their bid'ah. And they spread the rain of fitan, They spread trials and tribulations. So they differ about the book, meaning about the Quran. And they are opposing the Quran. And they are agreed upon splitting away from the Quran. They speak about Allah and regarding Allah and about the book of Allah without knowledge. They speak about the mutashabih al-kalam. They speak about speech which is not entirely clear. And they deceive the ignorant from the people with that speech which is confusing to them. So we seek refuge in Allah from the fitan of the mudillin. We seek refuge in Allah from the trials and tribulations of the people of misguidance. So that is how Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he gave his beautiful introduction to that refutation of the Jahmiyyah. And we wanted to mention this as an introduction today to remind us what Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, what were some of his characteristics, as he was from the foremost people of knowledge in his time, and what type of individuals he was up against, and the great difficulty of what he was up against and who he was up against in spreading the correct dawah of Islam. So we'll continue reading in relation to this topic from the beautiful Risala, or the book, by Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala. This book entitled Min A'lam al-Mujaddidin, and from the signposts of the revivers. So as when we mentioned before, when we spoke about the role of the people of knowledge, we mentioned the hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends revivers, or those who will revive his religion and remind people of that which they have forgotten and refute those distortions which have crept into the religion. So we'll begin reading that which Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan hafidhahullah described the great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab with. So we will cover some points of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, how his life started in the beginning, how he sought knowledge, and some of the effects of his dawah, and those types of people that he went up against. And likewise, we'll hopefully address some of those doubts that people have about this noble imam. So, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he began by saying that he is the scholar Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman, ibn Ali, ibn Muhammad, ibn Ahmed, ibn Rashid, ibn Buraid, ibn Mushrif, and Najdi, at-Tamimi. And he was born in the year 1115 after the Hijra of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he grew up in a house of knowledge. So indeed his father was from the scholars of those lands. And his scholar and his father, then he was a judge in many areas. And his grandfather, Sheikh Sulaiman, likewise was a glorious scholar and an imam in fiqh and in giving fatawa in the lands during his time. And indeed, there graduated upon his hands, meaning upon Sheikh Sulaiman, that many people had studied with him from scholars and students of knowledge, that there were many scholars and students of knowledge which graduated, or meaning they took knowledge from him and then they left to spread their knowledge. Likewise, his uncle, meaning the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's uncle, Sheikh Ibrahim ibn Sulaiman, he was from those great scholars. So Sheikh Muhammad, he grew up in this very knowledge-filled environment. And he was very sharp-minded, and he was very smart. He was very strong in his intelligence, and he was fast at memorizing. So he memorized the Qur'an al-Karim before he was 10 years old. And he studied with his father the books of the fiqh of the Hanabila, or the Hanbali madhab. And he did much reading in the books, in other books with his father, or in other books other than what his father taught him also. So he read the books of tafsir, and books of hadith, and books of usul, or those books of foundational principles of fiqh. And he had a special care and attention to the books of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, and the books of the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahumullah. And it was that these books, the books of these two imams, had the strongest effect upon shaping Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's personality. That these, the books of these two imams, Imam ibn Taymiyyah and Imam ibn al-Qayyim, they had the greatest effect of shaping his knowledge base and in shaping his shakhsiyah. And that these books, they took his hand to the correct sources of knowledge. That these books, the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, that they took his hand to the masadir al-ilm as-sahiha, that they took his hand to the correct sources of knowledge. So as a side point, we see how Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, he's mentioning and focusing on this issue, that he didn't gain just generalities from these books, but rather from the foundations which these books established for him, is that they took him to the correct sources of knowledge. So of course, the source, the, that which the people claim to be sources of knowledge, are widespread. Those, that, those sources which people claim to take knowledge from, related to the Sharia, are widespread. So many people, or the majority of the people of innovations and desires, they will always be referring back to their intellect. They say that they think it should be like this, and that's why they're going to practice their religion in that way. So indeed, the books of these two imams were strong in refuting this idea and this concept. Likewise, the Sufia from the people of Bid'ah, they have many sources where they take their knowledge. From them is dreams. So if they have a dream, then they make up that this is to be part of their religion, like this is some type of revelation to them, and that this is how they take their religion. So likewise, the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Imam ibn al-Qayyim, then they were strong in refuting these doubts of the Sufia. And they took him, so these books took him, to the correct sources of knowledge. And as we've learned before, that the correct sources of knowledge, of course, are the Qur'an, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is authentic from the correct understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for these sources. So Sheikh Fawzan continued by saying, so it was that he had a correct direction from the time he was young. He had a correct direction from the time he was young, from the time he was small, and his heart was focused upon this correct aqidah. His heart was focused on this correct aqidah because he had graduated, yani he had benefited and progressed in his knowledge through the books of these two great imams, from these two great imams. And what we'll point out as a side point here, likewise, as our Sheikh Ahmed al-Subai has mentioned, that al-bidaya unwan al-nihaya, that often the beginning of an affair is like a banner or sign for how it will end. So if something is begins on correct, upon correct foundations, then that is often a good sign that it will end in a correct way. And from the clear proofs of this, from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the seven whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade yawm al-qiyamah, that he will shade on the day of resurrection, on the day that there is no shade except his, that there is no shade except his, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those seven, are shab nasha'a fi ta'atillah, that a youth who grows up upon the worship of Allah, upon obedience to Allah, that this is from those people that are shaded yawm al-qiyamah, on that day which there is no shade for him, for the people, except Allah's shade. There is no shade except the shade of Allah. So this is from those proofs that shows that when one has a correct foundation and a correct beginning, then inshallah their end will be praiseworthy. So Sheikh Saleh Fawzan continued by saying that once he became full of that knowledge, meaning he had gathered up much of what he could in his land, then, and this was in relation to the knowledges and the sciences of fiqh and the Arabic language and hadith and tafsir. Once he became full of these knowledges, that he reached the limit of what he could in his land and all of the sciences of the Sharia, then he wanted to increase. He wanted to increase his knowledge, and he had the firm resolve to travel in seeking knowledge to the scholars of the other lands near him. He wanted to travel to the scholars in the other lands near him so that he can benefit from their knowledge. So he made a rihla. He traveled to Basra, and he traveled to Ahsa, and he traveled to Mecca, and he traveled to Medina, and he met with the scholars of those different lands to take from them their knowledge, to take knowledge from them, and to acquire different books and references. Then Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he said, and will leave now the opportunity for the Sheikh's grandson, Abdurrahman ibn Hassan, to speak further about his rihla, his journeys in seeking knowledge. So now Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, it will quote, and he's doing naql or conveying that which the scholar, the grandson of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and his name is Abdurrahman ibn Hassan ibn Muhammad, some of what he said about his grandfather and about his grandfather's journeys. So he said, rahimahullah, that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, that he memorized the Quran when he was small, and he read in many of the sciences of knowledge, and he had and gained a fahm qawi, that he had a strong understanding. And a himma aliyah. He had a very strong desire in seeking knowledge. So he had fahm qawi, he had strong understanding, and he had a strong desire and a high desire to seek this knowledge. So these are two factors which, again, are a glad tiding or something which should be encouraging for one, and it should show us that if one has these characteristics, that it is a sign of something good. So he increased his desire into seeking the knowledge, especially of tafsir and hadith. Tafsir, that which is the explanation of the Quran, and likewise the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which of course includes the studying of those chains of narrations of them, and likewise the fiqh, or the understanding of the mutun of that hadith, or the actual text of that hadith, to derive the correct understanding and benefits that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke with. So he set out traveling to Basra more than one time. And every time he would go there, he would stay amongst the scholars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made apparent for him from the foundations of the religion that which was hidden from other than him. So we'll look at what the scholar said about Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab again. We'll read it again. So Allah made apparent for him from the foundations of the religion that which was hidden from other than him. So indeed this is a tanbih, or this points out to us that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, that he was special, that he was more special in this regard than other than him. And this is a tanbih. This points out to us that the scholars are of different levels. The scholars are of different levels. That one scholar, when they explain a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one scholar might derive out two or three benefits, and another scholar might derive 9 or 10 benefits from that same hadith. Likewise, this is in regards to deriving benefits, but likewise, if, let's say for example, a refutation needs to be done of a certain book or a statement from the people of Innovations and Desires, maybe one scholar, even if he's upon the sunnah, he might read that statement of the person of bid'ah, and maybe he won't realize anything wrong in it. Or maybe he'll read it, and he'll derive and notice that there's one or two mistakes in it. And another scholar, likewise from Ahlul Sunnah, might read that same statement, or that same book or article, and he can find and catch out 7, 8, or 10 errors in the methodology of the Salaf as it relates to that. So we're just pointing out, as the great scholar Abdurrahman ibn Hassan said, how Allah made apparent for him from the foundations of the religion that which was hidden from other than him, that the scholars indeed are of different levels. The scholars are in different levels, and that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab was from those that indeed was blessed with deep insight and understanding. So likewise, Allah made apparent for him that which the people of Sunnah were upon in regards to the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, and the correct understanding of Iman, the correct understanding of Iman, the faith of a Muslim and the belief of a Muslim. So it was in Basra that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab authored Kitab Tawheed, the Book of Tawheed, and that book, which is well known now today, he said that book is that which the Qarib and the Ba'id, so those people that were close and far away, that all of the people, yani even those that were far away and those who are close, that they bore witness to its virtue. That they bore witness to the virtue and the greatness of this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, even though there were those who are opposed to it. But in his time, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, when he wrote this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, in Basra, that those who were close and even those who were far away bore witness and testified to the virtue of this book. And there was a time that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he was present amongst some scholars in Ahsa. And from the greatest of them was Abdullah ibn Abdul Latif al-Qadi. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab requested that he brings the first volume of Fath al-Bari, that he brings the first volume of Fath al-Bari of al-Bukhari. This is the book, Fath al-Bari, it's the explanation of Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, for Sahih al-Bukhari. So Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab asked them to bring Fath al-Bari, the first volume of it, and then Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab clarified to them that which Hafidh ibn Hajar made mistakes in regarding the affairs of the correct Iman. So in the beginning of Sahih al-Bukhari, there's the chapter, Kitab al-Iman, or the Book of Iman, the Book of Faith. And Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he had made errors in his explanation of some of these texts. So Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he told them to bring this first volume, so he can clarify and point out where Al-Hafidh made errors in regards to the issues of Iman, and he clarified that the Ash'ara, those are from those people of innovation and desires, that make ta'wil, or they distort and misinterpret the correct understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. So the Imam clarified how the Ash'ara opposed what Imam Bukhari started his book with from these ahadith and athar. So even during his journeys in seeking knowledge, that he was from those who would seek out the detailed matters, and he would clarify the truth in detail. So he was a person of clarity, and he taught the people to be upon clarity. So even when he went and he would sit with other people who were known to be mashayikh, people who were known to be great scholars of those lands, he would clarify to them the correct details of the way of Ahlus Sunnah and refute any errors which the people might have been upon. So then later, and this again is the speech of Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Hassan ibn Muhammad, so he said that it was that then that our Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning Imam Muhammad, that it became apparent to him, due to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up for him, regarding to recognize the misguidance of those who have gone astray in taking gods and worshipping them from other than Allah. So during his travels, he realized, he knew about Tawheed, and he was upon Tawheed, but he realized the terrible state that the Muslims were upon. He realized and saw, due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening it up for him, to recognize that which the people were upon in worshipping these andad, associating partners with Allah in their worship in every land, meaning in all of the lands of the Muslims, this was occurring. And in all of the villages, this was happening, except where Allah willed, meaning as far as he knew that this was occurring, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was being worshipped along with other partners in everywhere except where Allah willed. So meaning there might have been places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected from that, but it was terribly widespread. So once it was Hajj time, then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes his religion apparent with his da'wah. He asked Allah to make his religion apparent with his call and his da'wah. And he asked Allah to provide him with acceptance from the people. And he asked Allah that the people would accept his da'wah. And this is from his care to them. This is from his compassion for the people and the Muslims, that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would accept his da'wah. So he left out intending Medina. He left out intending Medina with the people going for Hajj, or with the Hajj, with those people that had intended Hajj. So he left out intending to go to Medina along with those people from Hajj that were going to Sham. They were going to Sham. And then he was opposed by some thieves. There was thieves on this path. So they hit him. They beat him up. And they took from him everything that was with him. And they cut open his head. and they harmed him greatly, which delayed his going to Medina. So this happened to this imam after he had stood, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the people, and asking the people, or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people to have qubul, to have acceptance for this da'wah, that when Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he was intending to go to Medina, that he was on his way with other hujjaj, other people that had gone for hajj, and they were returning back to Sham. So these thieves attacked them, and they beat him up, and they tied him up, and they took that which is with him, and they cut open his head, and they deterred him from his path with the hujjaj, with those people who had gone for hajj. And then he had eventually reached Medina after the other hujjaj had already passed through. And what we see, and this is something that would deter many people. If you're out seeking knowledge and this type of thing happens to you, or you're out to spread da'wah and this type of thing happens to you, it was something that would normally deter many of the people, if not most of the people, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon and who gives them insight to realize that this, in fact, was the way of the prophets. This was the way of the prophets, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. So the most severe of the people who are tried in this life indeed are the prophets, and those who are most like them, and those who are most like them. So this is what the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab faced in his journey to Medina to seek this knowledge further and to spread that which he had of knowledge. So he eventually reached Medina after the people who had made Hajj had left, and he stayed in it, and he sat with the scholars there. And from those scholars who he sat with was Muhammad Haya As-Sindi. And he learned from him the books of Hadith. And he got an ijazah. He got a permission to teach and convey these books, both in reading them and spreading them. And he found in Medina some scholars of the Hanabila, meaning those who are upon the way of Imam Ahmad. So while he was in Medina, likewise he wrote the book, Al-Hadi, by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. He wrote it with his own hand, meaning he found a copy of the book, and he copied out the whole book with his hand. And he wrote out the whole metan of Al-Bukhari. He found Sahih al-Bukhari, and he needed a copy of it for himself. So he copied it, the whole Sahih al-Bukhari, out with his hand. And while he was there in Medina, he studied and attended the lessons of Nahu, and he memorized the poem Al-Fiyya of Ibn Malik, this 1,000 lines of poetry in the Arabic language. So before we continue, and we'll end, inshallah, this lesson in this point that we've reached with of the life of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, again focusing on this issue that the most severely tried of the people are the prophets, and those who are most like them, and those who are most like them. So we should recognize that the masa'ib, or those difficulties and trials, they are warid. It's something that will occur. It's something that will naturally happen in this life, because this whole life indeed is a test for us. So what we need, though, what we require is izima. It requires strong will to persevere against these difficulties. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his prophets and his messengers in the Quran, and there are those who are specifically known as ulul izm, those messengers of strong will, those messengers of strong will, those who are Nuh alayhi salam, Musa, Isa, Ibrahim, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. that these were those strong-willed messengers. So we find that the scholars of the Sunnah, those people of knowledge of the Sunnah, that they must strive to be upon the way of the prophets and messengers. Because indeed, if they are truly from the inheritors of the prophets, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that al-ulama warathatul anbiya, that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. So it is upon those people that ascribe themselves to knowledge that they in fact actualize their religion and practice their religion based upon those characteristics of the prophets and messengers and truly take from their inheritance. So these masa'ib or these difficulties, then these will happen in this life, and they are not something which are truly a roadblock for you. And it's not something which is truly preventing you in your path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, whatever difficulties might come about, then upon you is to persevere and continue upon that path. Continue upon that straight way, upon the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of the noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the righteous salaf and scholars that have preceded from the time of the Sahaba up until whatever current time that you live in. So this indeed is the path of najah, the path of success. And we see how this Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, even after being robbed and beaten up and tied up and having his head cut, that all of this didn't stop him from eventually reaching Medina and sitting in those lessons of knowledge which he wanted to sit in and copying out these books with his own hand. All of this takes azima, it takes strong will. And we will continue, inshallah, in the next lesson, continuing about the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and his rihla and his dawah. And we hope and intended by these lessons to let the people recognize who is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, because his name, of course, is widespread. Many people have heard of him, but very few of the people know very much about him at all. So we'll continue with the next lesson, continuing this topic of who is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.